And we'll open up with prayer in the house of the Lord. Praise God. It's a good day, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's a good day, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that we can come with hearts of expectancy, ready and willing to receive your word, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would, I thank you, Lord, that you will speak a good word to us today, Lord, and you put your word in our heart, Lord, so that we might not sin against you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Today, Lily and Micah are each going to be speaking for us today, right? So if you two want to come up here, we'll go ahead and pray for you.
Lord God, I thank you for these two, and I pray you bless what they say, Lord God, and I thank you that you lead them and guide them as they teach us from your word, Lord God, and I pray that we will all get revelation from what they're speaking on, Lord God. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, today I'm going to be talking about love and what place it has in our lives. Okay, if we go to 1 John 4:16, will someone look that up for me? All right, go ahead, Nick.
And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Okay. If God is love and God abides and dwells in us, then every action we take needs to come from that place of love. So we have three places that I want to talk about. Okay, the first two are about the flesh and the mind. It's Romans 8:5-8. Okay. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires set their minds and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which in sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and the soul of peace, both now and forever. That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So then, those who are living in the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites, the impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to him. Okay, for example here. When I want to fight with my brother, and I let my flesh take over instead of walking in love, it means that I am carnally minded and set my mind upon things of the flesh, and therefore I act out on the flesh. When your mind, when you set your mind on things of the flesh, it says in the Bible, it is death, and like a spiritual death, I believe. And the scripture also states that the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, and therefore those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So the third place I want to talk about is the Spirit. If we go to Romans 8:9-10. But you are not living the life of the flesh, you are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is in none of his, he does not belong to Christ. He is not truly a child of God. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness he imputes to you. If you walk in the Spirit, then your actions will come out of that place of love. When you're not in your word and praying every day, then your spirit will get weaker and weaker, and soon you'll just be walking in the flesh. But even though you stay in the word every day and you're walking with the Holy Spirit, you still have to make a choice to listen and follow the Holy Spirit. For example, when I go to the gym, or when me, Dad, and Hannah and Lily go to the gym, we still, every day, have to make that choice to go. So even though it's the more difficult way to go, we still choose to go because we know it's good for our bodies. Like getting in the Word every day and acting upon that is a harder thing to do, but it's still the right choice because when we're walking in that, we're coming out of that place of love. Yeah, that's what I have for today. So.
Okay, you kept my spot. No, I'm just kidding. Alrighty, I had a, like, I know this, I'm kind of a procrastinator, so I waited till, like, 1 to do this, but, I had a huge revelation, so I'm kind of glad that I did. Can anyone read Romans 8:21 for me? Actually, you know what? I'll read this one, and then I'll have y'all read the rest of them. Okay. All right. In Romans 8:21, it says that nature, creation itself, will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. All right. And we're God's children. So what does this scripture really mean to you? Anyone? Do you want me to read it again? Okay, I'll read it a little bit more slowly this time. That nature itself will be set free from its bondage and bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. So that scripture is about freedom, right? So, and this is like, I don't know if this is a huge revelation to you, but it is for me. I mean, I'm not that new of a Christian, but I don't know, like, how it is with other people, but I'm going to kind of make this into kind of an informal group discussion, like a really fast one. So what is freedom to you? What does it mean? Like, what would be like a simple definition? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Rob? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The actual, I think one of the definitions in a dictionary is absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. And I think that part of that, absence of necessity, I kind of want to like stress that, because like we're free from need. Like we don't have a necessary, like, it's hard to explain, like, because it's a huge revelation, but it's really hard to get out in words, but you don't have to need, and with this freedom, you don't have to need. Also, liberation from the power of another, and I kind of tried to explain this to Micah. It's kind of, like, when I thought of, hold on a second, I'm getting ahead of myself. My notes are really crazy. Like, if you saw them, you'd probably be like, wow, this is the most unorganized person in the world. But it's hard to get them all on paper before you forget them. Okay. So freedom isn't being able to do whatever you want. Not, like, in God's eyes. In God's eyes, freedom has two parts. One, we can make our own decisions. So that's free will. I believe that's what a couple of you guys talked about. And two, you're free and liberated from the devil and the things of this world. Can someone read Romans 6:14? Nick?
Your sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace.
So that part, you're liberated from sin and death. Romans 8:2-3. Okay, Cherish.
But through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by sinful nature, God did by sending his own son,
Okay, and that's where my revelation started, was it salvation. And I was like, well, when I think of salvation, I think kind of like a person on an island and they're stranded, and then a boat comes and rescues them. But I didn't think about what happened after they got off the island. They have freedom, you know? And that was huge, like huge for me. And you could also think of it like you're wrongly in prison, and then you have like in like another country, and then you have some like soldiers rescue you from that. You're free. You have your freedom, you know. And with I think that was the main thing that Jesus' sole purpose in giving us salvation was to give us freedom. I'm trying to explain this better. But the definition of salvation is deliverance from the power and effects of sin. And that surprised me that was the first definition in the dictionary on the internet, because usually it's not related to, like, the Bible, you know? And I thought it would be something like, you know, getting saved or something, you know, from some like danger. But this is just a major thing that I'm trying to stress to you, that we have freedom. We can make our own choices, but God wants us to make the right ones. So does anyone know how to like use your freedom the right way? What do we do with our freedom? Can anyone read Galatians 5:13? And also, can someone find 1 Peter 2:16? Galatians 5:13 and 1 Peter 2:16. You have 1 Peter? Okay, go ahead.
As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you're supposed to do. And also?
For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another.
Okay. So you don't go by the flesh. A lot of people are like, oh, I have freedom. I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. You know, a lot of people have a misconception about freedom, that they could just, you know, go to the bar and party and stuff like that. No, that's not what, and God gave us that freedom. No one else gave us that freedom. God did. And what we have to do with it is follow him and what he wants us to do and use it the right way. Don't use it to do whatever you want. Do what he wants. It's not to do whatever you want. You're free to do what God wants you to do. So what things are we free from? I just want to reiterate this. With the salvation, we're free from disease, sickness, death, fear, hate, joblessness, financial problems, failure, which ties into we have victory, necessity. So basically, salvation equals freedom, which equals like everything that salvation gave us. You know, so it's like an all-encompassing thing. The freedom is an all-encompassing thing, because really that's everything that we get with salvation, because we're free from all of the bad stuff and we get all of the good stuff, you know, just in like putting it simply. So all right, now let me reiterate this. What do we as Christians do with our freedom? Mm-hmm. That's exactly, that's a scripture that we found, that Micah, I asked Micah to help me a little bit. What scripture was that? I found it, hold on. Oh, yes, Galatians 5:13. That's what we do with our freedom. So we have to serve one another and, most importantly, serve God and do his will, not ours. All right? So we're not slaves. We have freedom. You know, that's the opposite of freedom. And so we're not operating under slavery. We're operating under freedom. Okay? And that's all I had today. Sorry, it was kind of confusing at first, but it's hard to get my words out because this is a super important thing, you know, to get.
Well, bless God. We're free. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Well, I was praying, and the Lord laid on my heart, if you could turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, he's talking to the Israelites. He's talking to the Israelites there, and in verse 29 it says, But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient to his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Now, you read that verse, and you ask yourself, Lord, he told me to read this verse, because he was talking to me about seeking him. He's talking to me about seeking him, and I go, Lord, what does this have to do with seeking you? And he said right there, he said, well, first look at verse 30. He goes, in verse 30, I am guaranteeing you that there will be tribulations, that there will be trials, that it won't always be easy. Because he says, when tribulations come. And you go, when? Oh, no, that doesn't mean if. It's different. There's a difference. And I'm sure some of you that are a little bit more advanced in years than some of us know better than I do. like my mom, that there will be tribulations. Yeah, you start yelling first, Mom. I'm sorry. Okay. So there will be tribulations and there will be trials, and he guarantees that in verse 30. But he says, when these come, and even in the latter days, the tribulations that God brings, he says, if you will turn to me and you will be obedient to my voice. He goes, there's two conditions. He goes, you have to turn to me. You have to seek me for who I am. Not just seeking to get out of your problem. You have to seek me for who I am. And then when I tell you something, you have to do it. You know, too often we come to church and we hear a motivating message on Sunday. And we go, oh Lord, I want to do that. That's me. And we go, Lord, change me. And then he tells you something. He's like, all right, you want to change? And you're listening to him. And he goes, change this. And you go, oh Lord, I want to change. Change me. You go, God. That had to be something else. That's no good. Because I can't change that. That would be too painful. I don't want to give that up. But when God speaks to you and he gives you something, you have to be ready and willing to change that. You have to be willing to do that. So that's that second part, being obedient. And also when he tells you to do something, let's say he told you to be a missionary somewhere, you have to be obedient to that. You have to do that. So it's not just a matter of listening to him and seeking him. It's also a matter of doing. And I believe Micah touched on that when he was speaking. He said, you have to do. You just can't hear. You just can't hear and hear and just go, you know, and not do anything. It would be kind of strange if you had someone that came to you for advice. Let's say you had someone that's coming to you and going, I need help with this problem. You know, do you have any advice for me? And they go, we'll do this. And then they run off and they come back and they go, hey, I'm still having problems with that. Can you help me? You go, well, did you do what I told you? Well, no. You go, well, go do that. But so many times we do that with God. He tells us to change something and we keep running off and not doing what he says. And then coming back and going, Lord, I'm in a mess now. You got to help me. And he's going, did you do what I told you? Well, no. Well, let's start there. Let's start there. And so oftentimes the thing that keeps us from advancing is so simple. You know, I heard a minister once say, and this is so true, the Word of God is so simple that you need help to misunderstand it. The message is so simple. He says it confounds the wise with its simplicity because too oftentimes we have too much help from the author of confusion, which is Satan. That comes from the devil. And you have to go, you know, I'm not going to receive that. I'm just going to simply do what the Word of God says. It's not complicated. It may not be easy, it may be difficult, but it is the right thing to do. It may not be always easy, but it is the right thing to do. So I guess what I'm saying today, and it's a simple message, but you need just to seek God, listen to his voice, and then when you hear him, you get quiet before him, and when you hear him, you just have to do what he says. And it's not complicated, but it's not always easy. Because oftentimes, when we seek him and we listen, there are things in our life that if they're not right, he'll correct that. He'll correct that. He'll go, hey, you need to get this straight. Hey, you need to do that. But you know what? That's a good thing. Amen? Yeah. Amen. All right, let's close with a word of prayer so they can get set up for service. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for this word that we received, Lord. That we can do your word, Lord, and we can walk in your freedom, that we're free from the power of sin and death. And I thank you for that, Lord, and I thank you for today. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.